Welcome to the OVNI Interviews. We're your hosts, Eric Bork and Mikey Taylor.
What up?
We're the co-founders of OVNI, a brand for influencers and entrepreneurs. Our guest today is the man himself, Chris Chan.
What's up? Sorry, go
ahead. He's ready to go. Let me give you a quick intro. So Chris Chan, you know who he is. Skateboarder, YouTuber. I'm looking at his account right now. He's almost about to hit 1 million followers on YouTube. He's known for such keywords as moist, unsatisfied, and he's absolutely killing the game. Amazing skateboarder. I've known Chris like 3 or 4 years ago. I'm like, this kid is, I gotta like meet this kid. So I hit him up, went out to lunch, found out, yeah, he's famous, but he's really cool. He's a great kid, and we're stoked to have you on today, Chris. So Chris, I'm looking at a video right here. You're with Casey Neistat. You're with Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, how did that get set up?
That was crazy. Okay, that was really crazy. That video kind of all just fell together at a point in my YouTube time where I was just like, I didn't know what I was doing, and I didn't know how I was gonna like make a comeback video, and I was trying to figure it all out. And Casey,
okay, so let's cue this up. You're talking about a comeback.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you
yeah.
were really successful at the time. So why did it feel like a comeback? What happened?
No, yeah, I didn't post for like 2 weeks.
All it takes for you to fall off and have to like come back 2 weeks.
Dude, that's a long time in the internet world.
Crap, dude, and just I thought you didn't like me at the time because I texted you and then you told me later, you're like, dude, I didn't text anyone back. But I was like, oh dude, Chris didn't hit me back. So it was like actually a hard time.
It was like no. It was a skit that was kind of based off like shit that was happening in real life.
Yeah.
So it wasn't real, but it was based on reality kind of.
For sure.
Was the 2 weeks real?
Yeah. Yeah. I was gone for a little bit. I took a little
hiatus. Just a step away and
yourself? Yeah. I like didn't look at my phone. It was like pretty crazy.
Okay.
And that was the whole monetizing situation with YouTube, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like they actually just took my monetization away for a little bit.
That's so scary.
So they have it was like a month and a half or 2 months. I don't remember, but like before that. And I was like, okay, it's going to come back. And this is all like kind of a joke. And then it didn't come back. Wait, so then I was like, oh shit, this is real.
Okay, wait, hang on. So you're making money, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're making money from YouTube. All of a sudden, checks stop coming?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you didn't know why?
Yeah, I mean, I thought like, and I see it happens to other people and then usually it just comes back maybe.
Yeah.
But mine was like taking exceptionally long. And at that time, like the two last videos I had posted like before that happened was like, me drinking my own piss and like just like kind of vulgar shit, you know, not that crazy, but like, and I just thought, damn, I think they reviewed my channel and they're just like, nah, like let's just not give him his fucking monetization.
Yeah.
Back. So I was kind of tripping out. I made that video and then Casey Neistat hit me up and he was like, hey, are you actually quitting YouTube?
And so you hadn't planned this like with, I'm going to do this. And then Casey, you were actually like, just, I don't know what I'm going to do. And Casey DM'd or how did he reach out?
I was going to create like a series about the situation that was happening.
Okay.
You know? But yeah, he DM'd me on Twitter and was like, hey, are you actually quitting? And I told him everything. And, I was like, hey, you want to be in like my comeback video? Like, and he's like 100%. And I was like, holy shit, this is crazy. This is real. Right. So I flew to New York like that weekend, just no plan, nothing really.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I'm just going to do it. And we figured it out last minute. And then while I was out there, a friend of mine who was like a big time old comedian who was friends with Jimmy Fallon texted me and he was like, hey, I think I can, would you be down to do a video with Jimmy Fallon? It's like, yeah, of course. I want to, like, if we can get him and Casey Neistat in the same video, in this comeback video, and you pull through, I had like 5 minutes with Jimmy Fallon, or it was longer, but like,
dude, that was a really funny, like, that was like a really cool, funny video. And you're like sitting in Jimmy Fallon's seat. It's
yeah. Everything like went wrong. Like all our audio was off and like,
oh really?
It's like total disaster. But like, I just got my phone out and recorded on my phone and it worked out. He was really cool.
All right, dude. So that just kind of gives the people like a snapshot of what you're doing. You're doing really cool stuff. Mikey's going to say something, I could tell.
Yeah, I might be like jumping way far ahead, but what happens if somebody's channel just goes away or like stops monetization or Do you think about that?
Yeah, that sucks. That sucks.
That happens. Time.
Is there anybody that's like been turned off and just never come back?
Because you hear about it happening on Instagram, but I don't think people are making money on Instagram like they are YouTube, are they?
Yeah, I mean, there's no AdSense program, but I think, I mean, hopefully if someone's monetization goes out, hopefully they have like brand deals or merch or something. So usually they probably won't quit, but I think generally most people are making less money, I think.
With YouTube AdSense, right?
Yeah, because of they're just cracking down on like music and just vulgar content, you know?
Why
yeah.
would YouTube not want people to make money off it? That was like the coolest thing about that platform.
It's the brands. It's the brands. Yeah. So the brands, it's more so the brands are cracking down on YouTube, which is cracking down on us.
And people are still getting ads. They're just kind of being more selective. If I'm right here, Chris, you tell me. I think that they're being more selective with where the ads are placed. Like they'll pick certain channels and then play the higher CPM ads on the channels that they select. Is that right? Or
right. Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think it's just being funneled into the more PG friendly channels. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yours is considered PG-13 or R?
Dude, I think it's like PG-16.
PG-16?
Yeah, it's like...
Okay. That's PG, R, man. R is 18. But all the... It never stops the kids from watching the movies. Okay, so let's talk about your story, man. You are almost at 1 million subscribers on YouTube. How did you get started into this? And well, why don't we talk about skateboarding first? You grew up skateboarding, right?
When
did you start skating?
I started with like my fake board that my auntie gave me when I was 5 years old, just riding and doing all sorts of other sports, not really like focused on skateboarding, but we just did everything pretty much. Biking, even scootering. And it wasn't until I was 13 that I really like started skating, because it started because literally I would play this game called RuneScape on my computer and I would set it to autoplay. I was like, okay, I should do something while this is autoplaying. And so I just go in my backyard and I'd learn tricks, and that's how it started.
You autoplayed your video game and basically went and skated.
Did I just say that?
So it was skating, and then I mean, in the beginning it was probably just like filming with your brother and friends or something, right?
Skateboarding?
Yeah, like you weren't at 13, you weren't doing YouTube, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you were just like filming with friends and skating and
just
having fun?
Yeah, we'd all just make like stupid videos, the camcorder and like skate, scooter, bike, everything.
Yep.
And we would do like dumb stunts too, you know?
What did you do?
Do this thing called bullet surfing, where we just like lay on our stomachs and like bomb hills and like eat shit. Stuff like that.
Was there a point like... I know it's like such a different time, but like when we were skating, there was no internet. It was kind of starting to become some Jackass, like right when Jackass started popping off.
Yeah.
Right? Or it wasn't even Jackass. It was Bam's first videos.
Y2K.
Y2K, right?
CKY2K.
Whatever it was, right? But up until before that something happened, like that, it was all like us trying to film just Sponsor Me tapes, right? Did you ever go through the road of like, I'm going to film Sponsor Me tapes, I want to be a sponsored skater? Or was it more like, I just want to like showcase everything I'm doing, and sponsors kind of came later?
Yeah, it was a Sponsor Me tape. I mean, that was still a thing when I was like trying to become a like skater, I guess, but it wasn't a tape. It was just like an internet video. Like, I guess it was the transition. But now that like it's, I feel like I haven't even heard of that term in a long time. That's crazy.
Yeah, but I dated myself.
I kind of was working on a Sponsor Me tape for a while, I guess.
It's so funny. Yeah, you don't even have those anymore. You just put it on the internet and send them a link.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gave it to the one person.
Well, an actual tape?
No, it was just a link. A YouTube link. Actually, there was this contest too. It was for CCS, and I sent him that too. I forgot what it was, but it was like a sponsor, like, send us your thing and we'll give you a year's worth of sponsorship or something like that.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right.
So you really were just like kind of out filming yourself do kind of everything you were doing.
Well, this was before YouTube, I think.
Yeah, this is before YouTube. So you were skating, having fun, just making fun videos with your friends.
Well, making the dumb videos was like when I was really young, and then I started again like around college making videos. That was like separate. Making like, I used to make like dumb comedy skits with my friends, and that was separate from like making a skate part.
That makes sense. And then were you trying to do a career in skateboarding? Did you, how was school playing into that? Like, what was your plan at that point?
Yeah, I mean, I always wanted to like just be the best I could at skating. I was always kind of like, realistic, and I just went to school, you know. I was just like, okay, well, this is like, we'll see what I'm just gonna take it as far as I can get as good as I can get, see what happens. Of course, being sponsored would be really cool, but I was going to school and I was just gonna get my degree and kind of just do both and see what happens, you know,
which a lot of people do. And then what, so at that point, where did YouTube start becoming something that you did?
Right, so that, so I used to make the dumb videos with my friends at the beginning of college.
Part of me is so fascinated by, I guess, just you and your story, because from all of us that don't know you very well, we've kind of only seen from the outside looking in, which had looked like this dude, Chris Chan, does YouTube. He's got a ton of followers and he's really good at skating. And that was like all we really know. So I'm like, I missed the, like, when you started doing it. The first time I met you was at the barracks. Playing Cole.
Oh.
Did I meet you before that?
Yeah.
What were you doing before that?
I would go in with Seva just as his plus one, you know?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, a few times. The first time, that's terrible of me. The first time I remember is when you played Chris Cole.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that makes sense, though. Yeah. That makes sense, yeah.
So basically, I meet you at the barracks. You're with Chris Cole, or you're playing Chris Cole, and I didn't know who you were. And somebody goes, yeah, he's like a skater, but like he has a YouTube following. And I was like blown away. I was like, from what?
Oh,
like,
that's pretty crazy, because that's when it had just,
that's right when it started. And I remember looking you up and like seeing you would always do like product reviews and kind of, what was it called when you opened boxes?
Unboxings.
Unboxing.
Yes. Unboxing.
That was my introduction to you.
Oh,
is that where it started?
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
No, dude.
Yeah, it was.
Well, tell us about like when it became a thing. Like that was kind of further along, right? Tell us about when you said, basically, I can make videos and people watch them.
Well, I've always been a YouTube fanatic, like of just YouTubers.
So you watched other people?
I've always been a fan of YouTube. I went to like the first YouTube convention in 2011. I was like so motivated. I was like, I want to do this. I want to make like comedy videos and skits and like all that shit. And then I was going to school at the time and I thought like, okay, I'm halfway through college now. I got to figure out what I'm doing. And I had tried to make like channels with friends before and they didn't like, I couldn't work with other people cause they just get like lazy and like, they just give up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, screw it. I'm just going to like get a tripod, get my own camera and do this shit myself. And I decided to take the skate, videos route because I had just discovered like, oh, there's like skate YouTubers out there. Mm-hmm. So I decided, okay, I'm going to like learn tricks on camera and like get comments from people and then like learn, ask people to send me tricks and then learn those tricks. Cause that's something that I saw in the YouTuber world. I just took a lot of shit from the YouTuber world and I just like brought it to skating, I guess.
Yeah.
So you planned this out.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I was like actually, in one of my college courses one day and I was like taking notes in college class in one of my science classes. And, I wrote out like my channel, like outline, like playlists and like what I was going to do, like what kind of content I was going to
make.
Like
a full business plan behind Chris Chan's YouTube.
In my class.
That's awesome.
I actually have the notebook. I brought it.
So you basically see, this is the part I love. This is the part of anybody who comes up, anybody who starts a business. How many followers did you have on YouTube at that time? And what year are we at? We're probably at like 2015, 14.
I think I started in 2014.
14.
I think that's when I started, yeah.
And did it pop off right away or?
No, it was, I mean, at the time I was so stoked, like being at 500 subscribers and then getting one subscriber a day was like the coolest. I was like, yes, another one, 502, 503.
Dude, I love it,
you know,
dude.
That, you know, that was like, cause I knew how it worked. Cause I watched people blow up on YouTube and I saw like, okay, it's going to be slow, really slow in the beginning.
Yep.
But that's almost like the equivalent of going from like a million to 2 million. So I just knew, you know, it's always going to be slow in the beginning, but I was stoked, you know?
So you were out there hustling with under 1,000 followers with this full plan on how to, on what you wanted to do. And some people weren't motivated to make videos and you got your own camera and you were doing it. This is the part that I think people need to hear because a lot of times you think, oh, he just like put videos and then it just like happened. It doesn't work like that.
Right.
You made a plan and you went out and were filming videos and doing this and skating. Okay, cool. So
not like, I mean, I didn't expect it to be where it was, but I was like, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, try as hard as I can. I'm going to actually try to do this like with a plan, you know?
Mm-hmm. Did you have like a time frame or were you just like, I'm going to do this till it works?
I mean, I was halfway through college and I was like, shit, I kind of want to get something going, you know, before I graduate, you know, to see, just to try, you know, see, you know, if not, I'll just go to grad school.
Totally. Whatever.
And it, you know, it worked.
And when did it start? When did you start like seeing momentum?
I think like to me, right away doing the trick challenge, the trick challenges was, it was doing well. It was slow, but it was like, I was seeing growth. It was slow, but I was seeing growth. So to me, that was like,
well, how many followers is that?
At like 200, 300, 400 subscribers.
You were sitting at 400 subscribers at this
I started
point?
With like 100 of my like friends and stuff.
Okay, then you started doing the trick challenge. You got up to 4.
Yeah.
Right? But at what point did it just start going like thousands? And
the first time I had a spike was the Battle of the Barracks, the Chris Cole game for sure.
Okay.
That was like I was at 2,000 subscribers at that point. Like I slowly got to 2,000 subscribers. And at that point, like there was a significant increase. It wasn't like a viral thing, but like it definitely was like a boost.
You ever had a viral, just something went crazy viral?
I've had videos go viral and get like millions of views, but my channel has been pretty like slow and steady growth the entire way. I've never had this like crazy overnight spike and like, holy shit, like all of a sudden, like all this, it's always been slow the entire way. Like, still waiting for that spike.
People have that spike, I imagine.
Yeah.
Some people,
like, you know, get a fucking 100,000 subscribers or followers overnight, and it'll either make you or break you, because if you're really good at what you do and you consistently do it, then you'll like kill it, you know, like, I don't know, like Bad Baby, her meme or whatever, and then she killed it, you know?
Yeah.
And then some people just like will fall off. You, as fast as you rise, you'll fall off just as fast.
Yep. Yeah. It's like all the people hit the lotto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what the hardest thing about it though is, in my eyes, because everything you just said, I completely agree with. Like, I don't think people do it for long enough for it to actually get going. I think most people just kind of give up through it.
Yeah. Definitely.
But like when you have multiple channels, this is at least kind of where I was at with it. When you have multiple channels that are performing well, and then you put something on, like, let's say YouTube, Instagram for me compared to YouTube, YouTube is like nothing compared to Instagram for me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, am I really going to spend this much time doing this where no one sees it when I already have other platforms where people see it?
Right.
You know?
Right.
But this is me discovering YouTube way after I'd already had multiple channels. I wasn't starting at square one going, I'm going to build this, you know?
Yeah. It's a different community.
Yeah.
You know? Just like if I were to try to do something on like Reddit, or I don't know. It's a different community.
Yeah.
You know? And you do a lot of like just having watched your channel over a long period of time, you do a lot of collaboration with different YouTubers, and that is kind of how I think part of how you've grown.
What's been kind of some, if you don't mind talking about it, what are some of the things that you did to help grow that you thought, that you think were pretty significant in helping? Collabing, good content.
I've
clickbait, engage at what?
I've always just been a good content believer. Just like consistent good content. I actually don't do that many collaborations. I've done a few, but people like really go hard with the collaborations.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like I always feel like, oh, I'm not ready enough. I'm not like ready to do a collaboration. Like I need to get here for, and it like never ends. You
know what I mean? Even like, when you're almost at a million, it never ends.
Yeah. Well, like rolling into a million slowly, but, just consistent, good content, which I mean, involves like clickbait too, or not clickbait, but just good titles.
Good titles. Yeah.
Interesting video.
Yep.
You know, that's how I like to put it.
How much time do you plan on, or how much time do you spend coming up with the title? And is there an order that you do it? Do you create? I had a friend who was doing, I think he still has a YouTube channel, but he would always come up with the title first.
Yeah, I do both.
You do both.
Yeah. Because the title is so important. It's so important. It's like everything, you know?
Yep.
It's like 50% content and 50% title, you know? So sometimes I'll film a bunch of shit, like when I went to Europe. And sometimes I'll get nothing and I have to like come up with a lame title, you know?
Yeah.
And then sometimes I'll just think like, okay, what's dope? What could I do that's like crazy? And then like, what can we film around that, you know? So
totally. It's
two different strategies.
Okay, cool. So let's keep going with your story. So basically you're in college, you start doing this. And then when did you kind of realize that this could be a career?
I think when I made my first, 28 cents. That's what it was. 28 cents. I saw it because I was making videos for a while and I wasn't seeing any money. I was like, this is weird. Like I'm getting like in the hundreds or thousands of views maybe. I'm not making money. And then I saw 28 cents and I was like, holy shit, I made money from nothing. Like, and you know, as a kid, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I had a job, I was going to school, I was like skating, and to make money just from like making these videos, like that 28 cents was worth so much more than like the however much I made for my job, you know?
For sure, dude.
Yeah. And so when I saw that, I was like, oh shit, we're fucking doing this. Let's go hard. Yeah. But I remember that feeling, the first 28 cents.
And then did you finish college?
Yeah, I okay. did actually.
Yeah, yeah. What do you have your degree in?
Kinesiology.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Bachelor's.
That's more than any of us in the room have. Do you have a degree?
Ryan went to film school.
Oh, that's right. Okay, you too.
Okay, so you basically you get your degree in kinesiology, but you're making money in YouTube. And how did like the teachers or parents feel about this?
I kind of was doing it kind of low key on the side. Like, I don't want to tell them, hey, I'm going to try to become a YouTuber and not, you know, continue with school or go to grad school. I didn't want to, you know, so I was doing it low key, and okay. I was building it like just on the side, until, you know, there was like sufficient evidence that, you know, until I was making money, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but anyways, that's my parents. Like, wait, we'll come back to that. But school, I remember having this presentation where I had to, we had to talk about like how we were going to get into grad school or like physical therapy school or whatever, you know, pursue your career after university. And everyone was talking about how they were going to go to grad school or whatever, get a job. And I had to present about how I wasn't going to take that route. And I didn't say YouTube. I didn't say like.
That sounds amazing. You had to give a presentation on how you just went to college and you're not going to do it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It was like one of the most nerve wracking things.
What did you say?
Yeah, how did that go?
I basically said like,
I'm going to create content.
I mean, I had to.
I had just like drop the mic. I'm done.
I talked about all the shit that I did because I was going to go to grad school. I was applying and everything else to the process. You know, I was like trying to get recommendations and filling out applications and doing all the requirements and all that stuff. Cause I did want to leave that open just in case, like, I don't know.
Of course.
You know? And so I talked about that in my presentation, but then I said, however, and then I said, I was kind of vague. I didn't say like, oh, I want to become a YouTuber and like fucking embarrass myself in class. Like, I just said like, there's like a financial opportunity has come about or something like that. I don't know. I was super vague about it. And people were just like confused. And the professor was like, oh, okay. And it was cool.
And then everybody was just like, oh, I don't know. You just got some crazy financial opportunity.
And I think I said it was like in entertainment or something. I don't know. I was like super vague.
Hey, now they know. Now
did people know at that time that you had a YouTube?
No, it was almost like I was living a secret identity in college. No, I didn't really tell anyone. Huh. I kind of just was doing school, and then on the weekends I would go home and like work on the channel and everything. So yeah, my parents eventually, I showed them like, I think I could like, you know, live on my own, and I think this is pretty crazy. And they're like, oh wow, okay. And they're like down with it. So that was cool.
And at that point you weren't putting, like, your parents are always, at least your dad's always in your channel right now. Yeah. Right. But back then it was pretty much just skating, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So they were like, all right, if you can do it. And so, I mean, that's good. You have college under your belt.
Yeah.
You graduated.
Yeah.
That's always there. It sounds like that was that kind of the point when the Battle of the Barracks happened and you started to get attention, or was that past that?
It was past that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cause when I was graduating, that's when I was able to like, I was probably, I don't even remember, maybe like anywhere between 10 and 50,000 subscribers, maybe.
Okay.
When do you start making significant money from a YouTube channel?
Yeah, we always wondered that. Because like me and Mikey did YouTube, like I'm at like 13,000. Mikey's at like 30.
I think my largest YouTube check was like $2.50.
No, you got more than that. I got like 100.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Maybe from
13,000, yeah.
Maybe you're sitting on some
I don't know if I ever got it. I remember getting some going, what, why?
Huh.
So it's such a different,
so when do you
different
start,
experience.
Yeah, but when do you start making like actual money? And it's different now. I think it's different now, right?
Yeah.
Well, what would you say? Like, to actually make a career where you're, say, pulling in like a few thousand a month, what level are people at when they're doing that from just AdSense?
Yeah, I think from what I remember, when I was at 50,000 subscribers, somewhere on there, I was able to like, I was thinking I could barely get by, maybe, you know, making maybe
2,500 a month,
yeah, maybe, something like more that. Or less.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Where did it go from there?
You started, wait, I want to know okay. more about this, dude. I'm oh. sorry. I've always been so like intrigued by this. So when do you, like, was there a point where you were making over 100 grand a year just from your YouTube channel, no brand deals? Close
maybe,
to
maybe.
It.
It could have been. I don't know. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think so. Yeah.
So you can do it. You can definitely do this. Because we always hear about like, there's like 10 guys and they're making millions. And
yeah. AdSense is definitely like one of the weaker. No, I mean, it depends. Right? For me, it's not.
So majority of your money.
It used to be really good.
Majority of your money is either sponsors or brand deals or now merch.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Well, for him, there's AdSense. There's AdSense. Right? And then you have brand deals. And then what was the other one you just said?
Well, he has merch. So is
no it, merch. Merch
is separate than brand deals.
Yeah, separate than brand deals. Yeah. And he's got. You have other deals too, right? With like brands, like sponsors, I should say.
Yeah,
because
kind of.
Don't let the people forget you. What do you rip mean, at
kinda?
Skateboarding?
Yeah, you're such like a yeah. What do you mean, kind of? You have sponsors. You get paid by them, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you I do. Mean, not all of them, but. Okay. Okay. I think I have one. I have like one consistent like. Sponsor that I get paid for.
Who's that?
Adidas.
Adidas, right? Yeah, yeah. You get
so
paid
contract
from Adidas.
With Adidas.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Okay. So of those four revenue streams, and this is, and Chris,
I
we're not
so
trying to drill. I know, Mike has so
I'm
many
so
questions.
Fascinated by like by
so
everything.
Chris,
but something changed in your energy.
Well,
there.
No,
it, well, no, it
did
this,
because
this
go
part
ahead.
I think is so fascinating. Yeah, and yeah. Really, what it is, I think, is you. In my mind, you have more power than. A lot of the brands that sponsor you, I think.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, think about this though. It's kind of like when we were skating, you had different basically media sources. Like when we were kids, it was TV. It was like Bam was doing his TV show and we would watch that. Right. And now you have kids that are watching YouTube, which is like a different media source. Right. So it's like, yeah, the influence is definitely there. It's
so let me ask you, maybe this is the question I should ask. Why have a sponsor that doesn't pay you?
That's a good question.
But you know what I'm saying? Like you have so many eyeballs on you. You're able to sell product. Why promote someone for free?
I don't know. The product is kind of cool. I think people, when they see you associated with a brand, it kind of maybe helps you a little bit. That could be one.
Yeah, like, dude, were you getting... paid, can I say it? Were you getting paid from Spitfire?
No, but that I would say that is then. Now looking at like myself now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to promote a brand for free.
Yeah.
Right? And I have a fraction of the
totally.
Eyeballs on me than he does, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, and it's a different time, right?
It is
it's
a different
like
time.
We're in a time now where it's like brands aren't selling themselves anymore. They need a face to sell it, right? And so seeing where we're at now, especially for, I think where he's at, I don't know if like
I would think,
aligning yourself with a brand, certain brands, yes. I think Adidas is a great look,
right?
Right?
Yeah.
I think that makes you look maybe more, I don't know, adds more value to you in a sense, right? But like, yeah, I think.
I mean, I'm not, but I don't like push brands like a lot. I guess I just wear their shit, which is cool, you know? I mean.
And also, I think, and I don't mean to answer for you, but I think it's kind of like his love of skateboarding, right? It's like,
yeah, right, yeah.
It's like he loves skateboarding, and like those are like the brands, right? And so,
That was a dream, man.
That was the dream, you know? And like,
live it out for a little bit.
So, yeah. But it is interesting to think, though, of the power that you have. We used to talk about this
all the time.
What if our Instagram following and mine, I wasn't pro at the time, but what if the Instagram following grew so big that we could just go direct to consumers and now that's happening?
Yeah, you guys talked about that.
Oh,
oh
yeah.
My gosh,
oh, yeah.
So much time thinking about it, especially when like it started happening where like skaters were having bigger followers than the magazines. Right?
Yeah. Which the magazines ended up growing.
Yeah, they ended up growing. But when that happened, we were like, that's when we started talking about it. We were like, holy crap, like there's going to be a point where we essentially have more accessibility to the fan than the channels that we use to build us, essentially, right?
Yeah.
So this is where it gets fun. Let's talk about your merch, because your merch is rad.
Thank you.
So
where did you come up with wanting to do merch? Were other people doing it?
Yeah, I think it's just like the thing to do. But I always wanted to...
And actually, let's take a step back. Can you tell the audience what the difference between merch, or what merch means, as opposed to a clothing business?
I think merch is usually associated with the content creator or whatever the channel is. Yeah. You know? Like Thrasher's merch is like related to Thrasher. Well, it's called, it's a brand too.
Yeah.
So, and then a clothing brand kind of lives on its own, I guess.
Yeah.
So what's your, like, you have merch, do you always switch it up? You have social anxiety, right?
Yeah.
And how did you come up with that? Is that like you? Do you have social anxiety?
That's completely me.
Really?
Yeah, do you really?
Well, I mean, I think there's different like levels. I don't know what the exact, you know, definition is, but I've always been like a super, super socially anxious person, you know? And so you should have seen me like before my YouTube channel and like everything.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. And I just feel like a lot of people out there, you know, are like me. I know that there are a lot of people behind their computer screens, you know? And so I like to, you know, let people know that I'm the same exact way, and like, it's fine. It's cool. Like you can be that way. And
that's rad.
Was that the first one you did?
I think it was, right?
I think so.
The first big one.
Yeah. It was that in Moist together.
Moist.
I remember the Moist.
Okay.
One.
So where did Moist come from? I mean, dude, every kid is like, every comment, like anytime I see you anywhere, like I look in the comments, Moist, Chris, I'm Moist, Chris, actually, that place is Moist.
It's AF, like, Moist AF.
The fans actually created
it.
They did, yeah. And I just thought it was funny when they were saying like, oh, Chris, you make me so moist. So I started like I took pictures of that, put it on my story or something like that. And then like after that, I just saw like hundreds of like Moist comments. And I was like, holy
shit.
Was
water before or after that?
Damn, I don't know.
Mikey doesn't know water.
I think it was.
I don't know water.
See, that one is actually like super true to me, because, and my parents know this, that I would always be like, I want water. Like I was like.
You just love water?
Addicted to water, kind of. Like I just love water. Yeah.
It's a good addiction.
So that kind of went hand in hand with the Moist, coincidentally, I think.
Okay, so basically Moist just kind of came from the fans and you just ran with it.
I just thought that was funny,
And you did merch that had Moist on it or no?
Yeah, you did. One round, yeah.
And dude, I feel like your stuff sells.
I feel like it does too.
I don't know.
Didn't it sell out within, like, you put it up, how long did it take to sell out?
I think it was like, the first one was like a day and a half, something like that.
And it was gone.
Yeah.
So if you come up with an idea, like let's say Moist, do you create like a full kind of campaign around it? Do you create content to push it? Is it involved in your stories?
Yeah. Like for like social anxiety, for example, the first time I thought of it, like I wanted to make like a meme out of it, kind of like a thing that I can like reuse in videos. And then I thought, man, just like, if I write it out this way, it could look dope like on a t-shirt. And so I just thought, okay, however I'm going to display the text or whatever it is on the screen, that's going to, you know, convert over to the clothing, you know? And yeah, I tried to create like just a video, I guess. Like I did a...
It's hard to explain, an edit.
Yeah. I don't know, an edit, you know?
Yeah.
An edit for whatever it is.
It was like, it was kind of like almost like a fashion like teaser or something like that. And then kids ate it up and it sold out really fast.
Yeah, we took kind of like a risky approach, not risky, but like just a new approach to it. Yeah,
how many, if you don't mind, how many t-shirts did you sell the first time?
It was a lot.
Give us a number. I actually don't
remember. It might have been 1,000 or something like that. The first one, maybe.
In like a day.
Or less. Yeah.
So he's pushing like 1,000 in like a day.
That's awesome. Do that a few
times a month and you're stoked.
But then the second one, like it gets crazier and crazier. So
what do you mean crazier? Like more and more?
Yeah.
So of all the things that you're like doing to make money, where are you kind of like pushing towards? It sounds like AdSense is like one of those that you just get a little bit from. Where are you going towards career-wise?
Actually, can I build off of that?
Sure.
Can you talk about what you make the most from and then how it comes down of like you make the most from merch?
Yeah.
Brand deals.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely merch.
Merch is the biggest
bet. Yeah. And then second, I mean, brand deals are really good. They're just not as consistent. Maybe I get like 6 to 10 brand deals a year, maybe.
Okay.
They're dope. It's just like, yeah, easy one job and then get paid a nice sum of money.
Yeah.
And then the AdSense is probably the lowest for sure.
So how often have you done merch?
I've only done, I think, actually I've done three drops. Yeah.
When was the last
one? Like 2.5. Like 3 months ago, 4 months ago, April.
Okay. Yeah. And is there, with you being a YouTuber, is there a fear of like, what happens if you've seen some people like disappear. Yeah. He cuts me off. Yes. Tell me about what is that like?
Yeah. I think every creator every day is having anxiety about falling off for sure. Like, oh, my channel's dying.
And
like,
it never goes away.
It never goes away.
That's so interesting, man.
Because, always going up and down.
I completely can relate to that. It's the same as pro skateboarders.
For sure.
You have anxiety about when the day you lose all your sponsors, you can't be a pro skateboarder.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, every single day you think about it. 15 years I thought about it.
Yeah.
I think that's with anything.
Yeah.
Well, I should say this. Do we even know how long you can do this for? It's too new, right?
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, at least like for skateboarding, we knew a 10-year run was a good run, right? Yeah. So that's like what we prepared for, 10 years, and then it's over essentially, right? Oh, so we worried about that too, but I guess in a sense, like it's similar in a lot of ways.
It's pretty volatile though.
Yeah.
People fall off fast.
That's kind of what I'm getting at is I've seen people just, go ahead.
People skyrocket fast and people fall off fast. Like you gotta adapt. It's like a crazy game.
So if you think, knowing how much time I spent thinking about this, and it sounds like you do as well.
Yeah.
Have you started, like, are there things you're doing to, I mean, you already have a degree, that's huge, but do you have like backup plans? Is there things you're doing to help with that?
Yes, definitely. Well, just saving to start.
Okay.
I'm always like.
Yeah, you seem like you're really good with your money.
I'm always like, fuck, okay, I'm going to be fucked in like however long, so I got to save. And then, you know, just have money so that I can buy myself time to figure out whatever the next thing is or whatever, you know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, I eventually like want to start brands, apps, whatever. Like I invest, you know?
Tell us about that. You invest?
Yeah. I keep most of my money invested, actually.
I love talking about this.
This is going to be a side conversation.
I'm not an investor. I have a guy that I have a financial advisor who helps me out, and
I had the same thing.
See, I didn't know that about you until we got into the pre-interview. So what do you invest in?
How old are you?
25.
Gosh, you look like you're 18. All right. So 25. Bonus. When did you start making like significant money? When did you start making 100K?
3 years ago, maybe.
Okay. So
4 years
ago. And 4 years ago, did you go get a CFP or a CPA?
No, I got a CPA about 2.5 years ago, maybe.
And does he
work
with
tax stuff?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I got a financial advisor. It's been like a year or so.
And do they work with other influencers, or are you one of a kind there?
Oh, no. Yeah. A few other influencers.
Oh, that's cool then.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And are you pretty, do you work hands on with him or?
Yeah, we have like once a month meetings. We get lunch and we just talk. Yeah, you're doing really good. Actually, he texts me every time. Oh, this stock, you made this much or whatever.
Okay.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I only keep like a small amount of money in my bank, and then it's mostly all invested. It's like safe investments.
So, yeah.
You
know.
Didn't you say you invested in crypto?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's funny because at this point,
that was recommended by your guy, though, was it?
No, it wasn't. Okay. He recommended against it.
Yeah, of course
he did. I swear.
I'm sorry. Wait, did I watch
this? There's God damn no it. Way he had you do that.
I've always been a hater of crypto. I don't like it. It's just not me.
Yeah.
Crypto or like blockchain? I think blockchain's incredible.
Okay.
I think blockchain.
I'm talking crypto right now.
Like the crypto craze, like investing into Bitcoin, all that.
It's like
What was it that you invested in?
Yeah, tell us that what happened.
Well, let me say the story. So I started off doing well with just like, I think it was, just the main coins, you know,
Bitcoin,
Ethereum, Ethereum. Okay. Yeah. And I made like, I got up to like 10 grand or something like that.
How much did we invest?
Sorry. No, I started with like 2 grand. I made like 5 grand, and then I put like another 5 grand in. It was at 10 grand.
Okay.
And then that 10 grand, like, you know, when there was that big spike
yeah.
and then I got up to like 25 grand.
And
I
then
was
then
like,
holy right back shit. Down to three.
No, not yet. Okay. No. I knew that I was aware that this is like gambling, you know. I'm not thinking like, oh, this is my investment money, like to like, you know,
I actually did the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I started with $500. I was like, I'm just gonna like play around.
Yeah.
Just to like have fun.
Yeah. It's like gambling, but like I was pretty sure that I just thought, you know, if you keep it in there, you never lose. That was my philosophy, you know? So I took all of the, I had coin, I had my money spread out through like 5 coins maybe. And I took all of it and I put it into one coin that I had so much faith in. XRB, Roblox.
Yeah.
And that fucking coin.
Wait, XRP is Ripple, isn't it?
No, XRB.
XRB.
Roblox.
Okay.
And that coin got hacked like a week after or 2 weeks after or something.
So you actually did good.
Wait, you can get, a coin can get hacked?
It's the first time it ever happened. It was like a freak accident. I put all my coin into the one fucking coin out of the hundreds of coins that got hacked. No. Like, are you kidding me?
All your money gone.
Crazy.
And yeah, all my crypto, I put, yeah, like 20 grand.
What?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Money guy was not happy about that.
I mean, it was theft.
Yeah.
He actually doesn't know.
So, okay, I'm gonna switch gears here.
Yeah.
So Chris, I've been a YouTuber. I have like 13,000 followers. I was hanging out with like the coolest pro skateboarders when I was YouTubing, but.
You're hanging out with Mikey?
Well, yeah. I mean, I always hang out with Mikey, but like.
You used to hang out with everyone.
Yeah.
Beeble, Malto, Paul.
And I'm not saying anyone specific, but I kind of felt like I got a little heat from certain people or looked at a certain way because I was a YouTuber. Do you ever feel that from skateboarding? And how do you deal with that?
So we're going to go there, huh?
I mean,
No.
I'll tell you this, man. You're killing it, dude. You're absolutely killing it. I mean, dude, you have to feel that sometimes, right?
Yeah. So this is like a huge thing that like I've always kept quiet about. I've never talked about it really. I mean, just with like close friends and stuff. But basically, well, yeah, first off, it always felt like it kind of reminds me of high school or like elementary school. Like, cause in high school, I was always the kid that like was in between like the cool kids and like the not so cool kids, whatever. And that it kind of feels the same, like, you know, hanging, like having, you know, brands or whatever. And then also being in with like the YouTube scene, just being like in between, you know? So it kind of reminds me of high school, but it kind of, you know, at first when I started, this wasn't a thing because no one had done it. So totally. It was just like, I was stoked on it because I just love YouTube, you know?
Yep.
And eventually like other people started doing it. And then it became a thing. And then I didn't realize that that's the way the situation was. And it did fucking get to me like big time. Like I feel like it kind of put me in a down, like in a dark phase for a while where I just like, I was like not motivated to skate. Like I put down like, I mean, not motivated to make skate videos, I guess, like put like skate content out there. Cause like, I just felt like, what's the point of like trying to make something where people are just automatically going to hate, you know?
Yeah.
So I just like, fuck this. Like, I'm just going to like do YouTube content and keep it separate and like just skate for fun. Cause I'll never quit skating, you know?
Yeah.
I was just, it's depressing because like, I would just think I would go to the skate park and like, just feel like, fuck, I feel like I can't even skate or whatever. Like I want to come here in the morning or something and just stay away. And I just felt like it was just sad thinking like, you know, people who I looked up to might have like could possibly like think negatively about me, you know, just
for sure
off the bat. You know, like, fuck, that sucks. Like my favorite skaters probably don't like me. And so yeah, it really bummed me out. It unmotivated me to skate. It demotivated me to make skate YouTube videos. So I like tried to like completely, I kind of stopped doing a lot of skating, honestly. I started making content outside of skating and I just kept it separate, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I don't want to be a fucking YouTube skater. I just want to be a YouTuber who happens to skate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Keep that separate. But as of lately, you know, I've met a lot of people in the industry and realized that it's like actually not as bad as I thought, I guess, because I've met a lot of like fucking cool dudes who are stoked on me.
Dude, and everyone's posting you. Spanish is posting you. Kelly Hart's posting you. I feel like you're becoming embraced, dude. I really see it happening, and I want you to keep going, but I want to throw this out there. You know who took more heat than almost anyone? Tony Hawk.
Oh, shit.
Tony Hawk took so much heat. And look, he's like totally a part of skateboarding. Now, he, you know, and there's, I could name off a bunch of examples, but I just got to say, I'm happy to see that skateboarding is embracing what you're doing, because dude, you're killing it. You're out there killing it. You rip it skating, and it's really cool to see you doing what you're doing. So keep going, keep going.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
I'm stoked, man. Yeah, and thanks. That dude, I told you when we sat down, like however long ago, I told you like it'll take time, but that's what happens. That's what eventually happens. And things have changed a lot. Things also have,
totally.
Things have totally, like in the world, things have changed.
Yeah.
I mean, straight up, when we were skateboarding, when I was a pro skateboarder, and I was pro for 1 year, Mikey was pro for 15, malls held the keys to skateboarding. That's the reason skateboarding is so big, is because of mall shops, and people would get shoes and they would hit the mainstream and skateboarders got rich.
Yeah.
Rollerbladers didn't get rich. Other industries didn't get rich, but skateboarders did. Now that the malls don't hold those keys anymore, you're going direct to consumer. So, I mean, I feel like it'll evolve in and you'll be embraced by skateboarding. And I'm glad to see that happening. So keep going, dude. So,
you know, the cool way.
Did you feel like it was not being embraced by the industry or skaters in general?
Both, I think. Both.
And dude, I will say that you came up at a time when not a lot of people were getting sponsored. Like there's waves. And I feel like when you started hitting and you were like, there was Chris Cole and Mark Appleyard and Brandon Beeble and Stefan Janowski. That was one wave. And then you had Mikey and P-Rod and Evan and Justin Case. There's waves. And I feel like at the time you were coming up, the wave was not like people were not getting really put on that much at that time, which I did notice. And then it kind of started happening, but things have changed so much. Yeah. So I'm stoked to see it going where it is. I'm stoked to see people like posting you and being stoked to work with you. So
yeah, my attitude has definitely changed. Like I'm not like a cynical, like meeting people, I guess. I used to just feel like, yeah, everyone fucking hates me. And I just,
you know,
like,
what too? I think, yeah.
Especially like having social anxiety and shit, you know,
that's
like
a hard thing, man.
Now, I think that's a hard thing. I think it's because even though like, dude, I dealt with that for a long time. Skateboarding.
There's a like, lot of people just, that didn't like Mikey.
Yeah. And you just feel it. I think when like you have eyes on you, you just like automatically assume the worst and you just think like people don't like you or vibe you. I think that's like just kind of part of the
being
in the spotlight in a sense, you know.
But I mean, dude, sorry, keep going. Were you still going?
Oh yeah, like my attitude has definitely changed towards it, because I just realized, you know, in anything, like any other category, you know, fucking fishing or art or whatever, it's like same, like people just talk shit on everyone pretty much. Yep. Especially skating, like it's not just me, like everyone gets talk shit on, you know what I mean? So it's just like, who cares? Like, and even so, like, you know, I think skating back in the day was like the thing that wasn't cool, right? Like
when I was in high school, it was not cool.
Me neither.
Like you were like a bitch or something if you're skating.
Rejects.
Or
what,
hated.
Yeah, it was like a lame thing, right? Yeah. So I kind of just like, I think about that and I think people kind of miss that about skating, like now that it's a cool thing, like, oh, I miss when it was like punk rock, you know, or whatever, like when it wasn't cool. And so I kind of look at that as like YouTube or social media right mm-hmm. now. It's kind of cool. Like people don't like it. Like it's like fucking punk rock. It's like, fuck you.
Yep.
you know?
And dude, I mean, like think about how gnarly it would be if someone's trying to be and it's a little better now, but back in the day, if you're trying to be a hip hop artist, it was like, you'd literally get killed, you know? So there's some struggle, but I mean, you're killing it, dude. So let's, stoked for you, dude. Super stoked for
Thank you.
Did we skip over anything in your story? I feel like we kind of went through it quickly. So basically, out of college, started killing it with YouTube, started making good money. What were some of the kind of milestones in your career as you started coming up in YouTube? Like what are some milestones?
It's crazy because I feel like every time there's like a viral moment, like you're known for that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't want to be known for that thing anymore. So like you do something else and then you're known for that thing. Like I think the first thing was like the Battle of the Barracks, maybe.
Okay.
That was like the first thing. Oh, you're the guy that was in the Battle of the Barracks. And then I don't know if it was before or after, but it was like the dragon flip. It's like, oh, do the dragon flip.
The dragon flip was a thing. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Do the dragon flip. Like,
do a, you were like, you know? It was like, do a dragon flip.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. That was a thing. And then another major thing was the LA River, skating over the LA River.
Yeah,
like,
that was
and I was like, now you're the guy that skated over the LA River. Mm-hmm. It's funny how it changes, you know? Like, yep. Oh, now you're the guy that, whatever. Yeah, I'd say those were pretty like.
Those were some of the milestones.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool.
Checkpoints, you know?
Love it. So how's your team as far as creating, let's talk about creating content and your approach. Do you have filmers? How do you set it up?
Yeah, I got two guys that help me with like filming and editing stuff. I kind of like oversee and yeah, we work together.
Do you
do
the editing? We all live together. Who does the editing?
I have my brother and Jaime and sometimes myself. We all like work together.
Do you pay them?
Yeah.
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 That's right.
But that's you paying them, right? Not like an MCN?
No, it's me, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, and are you, do you have an MCN right now?
No, I don't.
For anybody who doesn't know what an MCN, it's a multi-channel network, and they've, I feel like they're not as powerful as they used to be. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I don't really hear too much about MCNs anymore. Maybe it's because of the whole monetization situation.
What I heard a few years ago is that YouTube was trying to pretty much phase them out. They just had so much power at one point. And I could be wrong. I'm not speaking from inside the industry. I don't know.
Do you have an agent?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Wasserman.
Wasserman, okay. And do they do brand deals or what do they handle for you?
Yeah, brand deals.
Okay. Brand deals. So they'll bring you a deal and say, hey, this company wants to do this.
Yeah.
And then you discuss whether you do it and
yeah,
in the terms.
Just, yeah, they filter out all the good, filter all the bad ones out. And
okay. All right, Chris. So Adidas is like a sponsor of someone that you do brand deals with, something. So tell us about your partnership with Adidas and how it started and what it is.
Okay. So it's actually a really funny story. I was at Agenda Trade Show and I walked into their booth and I had never been there before, so I don't know how it works. So I walked into their booth just looking around and some lady's like, excuse me, you can't be in here. Like, do you have an account with us? I was like, oh no, sorry. I don't know how this, yeah, come with me. You're going to have to leave. So she's escorting me out. And as she's escorting me out, like some guy comes up and is like, well, what do you do? Let me see your name tag. And I was like, I don't know. I just create videos. And he just started asking me questions. And I got to know the dude really well. And he turned out to be like some high up at Adidas. And we exchanged information. He introduced me to another dude, yada, yada, yada. And then now we're talking like, oh, we think we're going to, you know, sponsor you. And they were sending me shoes for like a year. And then eventually it was like, hey, I think we want to do like a kind of a deal with you. We're like kind of a hybrid, like athlete / social media, like something. Yeah. And they're like, this is like completely new. Like, you're the first person, like we've never done this before. You know, I was like, shit. All right, cool.
Dude, you made your own lane.
Yeah. It was literally, I remember having that conversation. It was just like having a girl, like just like seeing a dating a girl and like, well, okay, so what are we, you know?
Yeah.
And it worked out. And
all right, dude. Well, that's a good one for you. So let's talk about the life of an influencer. All right. You already mentioned that sometimes people are always worried about falling off. But in your experience, does the algorithm ever cause people to fall off?
I don't think the algorithm causes people to fall off, but it definitely expedites that process.
Okay.
The expediter of falling off or spiking.
Or spiking. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. It's, people blame the algorithm all the time. Oh, it's the algorithm, it's the algorithm.
What do you think?
I think like if you're creating, you know, content that people like, it's going to do well. People are going to like it. And I think if you're not, then I think it's not going to do well.
Yeah.
And YouTube is just going to assist with that.
So do people usually, do a lot of people kind of like, you mentioned like kind of a transition in your channel, like you were doing all skate stuff and then you started to do like stuff with your family and like funny skits.
Yeah.
Do you have to adapt or do you see a lot of people adapting or changing or how does that work?
Yeah, you definitely have to adapt. You can't do the same thing over and over because people just get bored. It happened with my channel. I had like everyone tanks first off, I think.
Everyone tanks.
Everyone tanks because everyone, like for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're just doing the same thing over and over, people get bored and the way stuff changes so fast with trends and just everything, you have to do something different. You have to change it up, which is also scary because when you change, people are like, oh, you changed. I like the 2016 Chris, which unboxing videos in your room, social anxiety, whatever, the shy Chris, I don't know. But you have to change and it is risky for the, I mean, you could change and it could be bad, but mm-hmm. you have to change. You have no choice.
And so when people fall off, what do you think, what's the reasoning, like, usually?
Yeah, I mean, people who fall off, I think basically are creating content that people don't want to see and they're not willing to change, and maybe they don't see it or something, I don't know. But I see a lot of channels, like OG YouTubers, that like fell off and are still doing the same content. But maybe it's because they're like, well, I'm just doing what I want to do because that's what I love to do. And
when they fall off, are they, but they're still YouTubers? They're just not relevant YouTubers?
Yeah. Maybe they're making enough to get by, but like, I'm talking people who used to get millions of views are now getting like 10,000. It's fucking crazy. Oh,
yeah, that is crazy. I've seen it. So you're saying a lot of times it's because they don't adapt.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think that's across the board with everything.
Yeah.
Like, look at musicians, right?
And with everything. If you don't
skateboard, everything.
If you don't progress, then you're fucking gonna get left behind.
Yep. What's it looking like what's your focus moving forward? You're killing it. You're almost about to hit 1 million subscribers on YouTube. What are you focusing on? What's the future looking like?
Honestly, I'm just trying to figure shit out right now. It just kind of feels like when I was in college, you know, like, what am I gonna do? But now it's just like, okay, now I've got YouTube going and it's solid, but like, what the next step is, I don't know. I'm focusing on merch as of now.
Yeah.
Merch is like my main focus, and creating dope merch, trying to bring something new to the table with like fashion or whatever, you know? And then I eventually, you know, want to start like companies or whatever, apps, you know, get creative. There's so much, there's so much that hasn't been done. And then with this platform, and anyone who's an influencer has so much opportunity, you know?
Yeah.
So much opportunity, so.
I feel like if you're making funny content, like everybody on Vine, they adapted to YouTube. Like, I feel like if you're making funny content, people are gonna watch your funny content. It never stops being funny unless you stop making funny content.
Right, yeah. If it's funny, it's, of course.
Some of your stuff's funny, man. The crowd clapping one, those were so funny.
Dude, in person, that was hilarious. In the fucking library.
That one was amazing. Amazing.
All right, man. Well, dude, you're killing it. We're stoked for you, man.
Work for the people that haven't heard of you, the four people. Where can they find you?
Instagram at Chris Chan. YouTube at Chris Chan. Same URL.
Okay.
Do you like being called an influencer?
I think nobody, I don't think anybody likes that word.
Why is that, dude?
Because it's weird, dude.
It's funny, huh?
Let's think about it. Influence.
I was kind of joking when I said it, right?
It's weird because it's not what it is, a thing that we do sometimes.
What would you say?
That's creator.
One, like, creator. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. That's what we do. We create. And then influencing may be a byproduct sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, you don't self claim as an influencer, you self claim as a creator. You know?
Okay. So from now on.
Yeah.
Well, hey, man, thank you so much for coming on, dude. And thanks for talking about the skate stuff, man. Like, I see that question in comments all the time. And like I said, dude, I'm stoked to see you out there, like, killing it. So appreciate you doing it, man.
Thanks for having me on.
And yeah, dude, and anybody who hasn't, go subscribe to Chris Chan and subscribe to Avni on YouTube, because we have like 1,000 right now.
Here from the start.
Love it, dude. All right, man. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap.
Let's go get some water. Some food.
Let's go get some water.